Exodus 20, which is going to be on the screen, okay? The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, your servant, your male, female servant, your livestock, or an alien who is among you, who is in your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant, his ox, donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. So the question is, are the Ten Commandments relevant in 2022? Some will say no, because Jesus paid the price for our sins. And some will say yes, because they apply to us as individuals. Grace or law? Which is correct? By the end of this sermon, I hope you'll see that the Ten Commandments are relevant for today, the 13th of March, 2022. As relevant as they were when they were given to Moses on Mount Sinai 4,000 years ago. The law, the Ten Commandments, was given by God to Moses for the nation of Israel. They are proclamations by God for the people, not over the people. What God gave was an expression of grace. In other words, this is what's good for you. Not, as many see them, as a list of do not. In each of the commandments, we see four things. We see revelation. Each one gives us an insight into the character of God. For example, what kind of person can say, do not steal? Only a just and generous person who's fully trusted, who never robs us or defrauds us, who never cheat, never lie, would never hold out on us, who's not out for himself, feels no need for self-interest, but only overflows in kindness and abundance. And that's Jesus. Secondly, confrontation. Each commandment gives us an insight into our own character. What kind of people need to be told, do not steal? People who will be unfair to one another, often without realizing it. We need to be alert to our own grasping impulses. Outside the orchard, there's a sign which says, free. Do you take one, or do you take them all? Thirdly, instruction. Each one gives us the right path to walk. For example, do not steal guides us into a pathway of generosity, of fairness, honesty, timely payment of bills, faithful promises. We walk this faith imperfectly, that people notice. And fourthly, promise. Because of the new covenant, God has promised he will write the law on our hearts. He will move each commandment from the pages of the Bible deep into our personalities. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my commandment. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Write it on their hearts. He writes it onto our hearts. Hebrews 8:10. This is the covenant I will establish, declares the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's for us today, in 2022. The question regarding the relevance of the Ten Commandments was a hotly debated issue in the first century church. The first Christians were Jews, naturally, and they didn't forego their observance of the Sabbath, of the God's law, but continued with it as was their custom. The question of relevance for Christians arose when God began to add Gentiles to the church. And that created a bit of a problem. What to do with them? If you read Acts 10, God directs a God-fearing Gentile, centurion Cornelius, to summon the apostle Peter. God reveals to Peter in a very disturbing vision that nothing is unclean, Gentiles or animals. Then he led Peter to proclaiming the gospel to Cornelius, who accepted and became a Christian. Paul's ministry was amongst the Gentiles and again focused on whether or not the law had relevance for the believers. Many Jews who had become Christians maintained that the Gentiles needed to be circumcised so they could keep the law. The Holy Spirit then revealed to the Council of Apostles and Elders in Jerusalem that the Gentile believers were not obligated to keep the law, but they and the Jews are saved through the grace of Jesus Christ. Now that would seemingly be the end of the argument. Gentiles don't have to obey the law. But Paul, in Galatians 3, 21 and 22, says this: "This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, I'll put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts. I'll be their God and they'll be my people." And he's talking to Gentiles. And Romans 7, what shall we say? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. And that's the crux of the whole thing. I would have not known what coveting really was if the law hadn't said, "You shall not covet." First Timothy, Paul again speaking, "We know the law is good if one uses it properly. It's not set in stone." Well, it was set in stone, obviously. "It wasn't made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and the sinful, the unholy, irreligious, for those who kill their fathers, mothers, murder, etc., 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 etc." If we didn't have the law, we wouldn't know what sin was. We would just box on. We're wise to remember that the Ten Commandments, as we labor in the fields of the harvest. So the Ten Commandments are not an onerous set of rules, They are signposts that point us to the straight and narrow path, while showing us we need a Savior when we inevitably stray from the path. In the Old Testament, the law, which is the Ten Commandments, formed part of 613 laws that governed Hebrew society. Imagine trying to keep all them. Ceremonial rules that governed worship, and moral rules, the law, that summarized all the Old Testament laws as to how people, that's you and I, interact with God and each other. And Jesus' death and resurrection did away the need for temple sacrifices and the other Old Testament laws that no longer apply to those saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But the Old Testament laws that did became part of the New Testament covenant. They were the moral laws. They were written in stone, placed in the Ark of the Covenant. And Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not do away with it. God's desire through these laws is to bring out the best in you and I. John 10:10, I've come that they may have life, life in all its fullness. The Ten Commandments set us apart. They identify right from wrong. They uphold the importance of love for God and our neighbor, promoting peace and this life and salvation afterwards. The Ten Commandments can be divided into two parts. The first four deal with our relationship with God, and the last six deal with our relationship with each other. Let's say this together. God is the only one true God, and we worship him only. No other religion's so-called God is worth a hill of beans. Allah is not the same as God. The Hindu gods are not the same as the Almighty God. We also do not elevate any worldly things to give them a godlike status, be it family, farm, money, possessions, fame, hobbies, you name it. They can all become a god. Secondly, again, say, in the early Israelite church, when a son got married, he usually lived in the vicinity of his parents. And then when his kids were married, they also lived in the vicinity. So the whole family was in a very small area and was under the influence of the father for a number of years. So they took on the father's religion, they took on the father's attitude, his desires and wants. Which is why it says in there that God will punish to the third and fourth generation those who fail to keep these commandments. But then he goes on to say he will bless thousands of generations that stick to them. So which is easier? In almost every program or film, God or Jesus' name is used as a profanity. Would you use your mother's name or your father's name as a swear word? I don't think so. The Hebrews held Yahweh's name in such high regard that they wouldn't use the name Yahweh. They used Lord or God. And the ultra-Orthodox Jews today will not write God. They'll write G-D. Because he's so holy. We are to control our tongues. A minister was building a fence around the vicarage. And a young boy watched him all day. And towards the end of the day, the minister said to the boy, "Why have you been watching me all day?" And the boy said, "I want to hear what a minister says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Because let's face it, it's so easy to together. None of the commandments has led to greater controversy than this. The legalist always finds it easier to prohibit something than to find a spiritual interpretation. Generally accepted is the complete stoppage of work one day in seven. In fact, it demands that that day should be kept holy, set aside for God. This commandment is not explicitly reiterated in the New Testament. My own view is that we set aside one day of the week for God. When we were on the farm, we milked the cows and that was it. We did nothing else. The rest of the day was for God. Shift workers get days off during the week. One of those days needs to be for God. Many of the early Gentile believers were slaves. They couldn't say, "I want the day off." Family is the keystone of society, something which I believe we're turning our back on in New Zealand. Parents should want the best for their children. They brought them into the world. That's the easy bit. And whether they are good or bad parents, they are to be respected. Because every child inherits some or all of the parents' attitudes, beliefs, fears, or doubts. Life is a gift from God, and last year in New Zealand we killed 14,000 children. Taking another person's life is wrong. But Jesus took it a step further. And in Matthew 5, he said, "You have heard it said to people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." That puts a slightly different slant on it, doesn't it? If you call someone a worthless fool or dismiss somebody as worthless, that robs that person of their self-esteem. It shows a lack of love. It's what Jesus calls murder. Our society has departed from this standard, not only as regards sexuality, but our tolerance of relationships which are not God ordained. If you look at the BBC World News today, down the right-hand side, there are about five countries that are trumpeting on because they've recognized same-sex marriages. They are not of God. With the new conversion therapy bill, I could be arrested for saying that. In the wedding ceremony, often the words are said, "When God, what God has joined together, by and large it's been dropped and replaced with, if it feels good, go for it." Jesus also expanded the command when he said that if we look at a woman lustfully, we have already committed adultery in our hearts. Matthew 5:28. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. How many of you have gone into VTNZ to register your car or to buy diesel mileage, and you pass as the form over the counter, you grab one of their pens, you sign your name, and you put the pen in your pocket? That's stealing. I've done it. They don't often. Stealing is a double sin, you know, for it implies that God can't provide adequately for us. Also, if someone does something that deserves praise and credit and we don't give it, that's a form of stealing, because the person is due that praise and that credit that they might receive. We're worried because we mightn't receive our fair share. If you go to court, you're told to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But that may cause offense or hurt to someone. But that is what we as believers are called to do. Not cause offense, but to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Here it's talking about our legal duty, but it applies to everyday life. If we're not honest in our dealings with people, we can do an extreme amount of harm. So tell it like it is. People may not like it, but tell it like it is. God says we mustn't envy the possessions of others. Possessions never make us fully happy. We always want more. Now, you can admire somebody and their possessions and even think, oh, I'd really like one of those, without being envious. Envy comes when you resent the fact that somebody has something that you have not. Resentment and envy go hand in hand. True contentment with our lives is only found in our faith in Jesus Christ. And the way the world's going, we really need to grab hold of that. That nothing, the government's not going to save us, only God. We really need to get that into our minds. So God gave the Ten Commandments to the people of the Old Testament. Despite this, and because sin continues to be a problem, the New Testament affirms the Ten Commandments that should govern Christian life today. They serve not only as a moral code of conduct for Christians, but also as a stark reminder that we all need what? A Savior. Because none of us can keep all the laws all the time. Jesus told us in Matthew 22, a guy asked him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And a second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." All of them. These commandments help us to lead our best lives with regard to our relationship with God and with one another. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And yes, it's hard to love everyone. Some people we really struggle with. But it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So the Ten Commandments have been central to God's people in the Old Testament. They're central to God's people in the New Testament. They're central to God's people throughout church history. And they are central to us as well. At Mount Sinai, God showed the nations the true function of the law. It was designed to lead the Jews and you and I into a life of practical holiness. It was intended to direct our communities to meet the needs of each individual in a loving and responsible manner. By Jesus' time, most people looked at the law the wrong way. They saw it as a means to salvation. It is not. To obey the law in those days was to get a ticket to heaven. The law does not bring us into relationship with Jesus Christ. That only comes when we accept him as our Savior and Lord. The Ten Commandments are a blueprint for life, relevant for 2022, and with the help of the Holy Spirit that is in every believer, we can live our lives much closer to the life that God has intended for us. So hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hear, O Israel, and the Manaah Community Church. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Lord, we're sorry that we sometimes ignore the stuff in the Old Testament because it's old. But I thank you, Lord, that the law, the Ten Commandments, are relevant today. Help us, Lord, to remember that in all our dealings with each other and with the outside world. And we bless you and thank you, Lord, for each of those laws because they are the best for us. Thank you, Lord, that you gave them to Moses. And that over the years, they've been handed down to us as Gentile believers. So we bless you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.